So how long would you expect to wait if you dialed 999 for someone to answer? 10 seconds? A minute? 10 minutes? Nolan listener Catherine contacted the programme to tell us that she waited on the line listening to a recorded message for 12 minutes before anyone answered. Now, this is not for the ambulance to actually arrive. It was for someone to answer the phone when she dialed 999. Catherine has been telling me what happened.
I was driving in Finihy, and I saw a young boy who'd collapsed at the side of the road, and he was having sort of a fit or a convulsion. So I immediately stopped the car and got out of the car and ran over. And I knew I had to ring an ambulance, so I lifted my phone and I rang 999 for an ambulance. And they asked, which service do you require? They automated a message, and I put down two for ambulance. And they put me on hold. They said, please hold. And someone will speak to you soon. So I thought, okay.
At that point, did you think, well, this is a bit odd? Or did you maybe think, well, I've never had to call 999 before. Maybe this is just what happens.
I didn't know. And I waited for a few minutes. And thankfully, other people arrived to help as well. There was a couple of older ladies and a young man came across to help as well.
So this is in the middle of the day on Tuesday. You say this guy was a young man. Roughly what age would you say?
Only about 16 or 17. He wasn't very old.
And what was he was convulsing on the street?
Yes, he was on his side on the ground having convulsions.
Having a seizure?
Yes, and he wasn't alert. He wasn't, I'm not even sure what was happening.
Yeah, quite frightening for, I'm sure for him, whatever was happening to his body, but also for people that came across that, because that, well, you tell me, how did you feel when you did see that?
Quite scared. I mean, this was a young boy and he needed help. When I rang for help, there was no answer. There was no one there on the end of the line to help. Thankfully, you know, Finihy is a great place and people came over straight away to see if they could help. And
yeah.
Someone put him in the recovery position and, you know, spoke to him and kept him calm.
And all through this time, you're on the phone.
Yes.
And you're not just waiting for an ambulance.
Whenever people arrived, I thought, maybe it's just my phone. After 5 minutes, I thought, maybe it's just my phone. So I ran across the road to a local business and I asked if they could call. And they also rang 999 from their phone and they got the same pre-recorded message that I got.
So all this is going on. People are trying to help this young man and you're still on hold. You haven't got speaking to anyone. It's just been the automated message after you selected ambulance. So how long did that go on for?
It was 12 minutes before anyone answered the call.
How does that affect you and that sense of panic? You're trying to help someone. You're not a health professional yourself, so you can't, you know, administer help to him in that way. So you're trying to do whatever you can, and all you can do is wait on the end of the phone.
I think it's really scary because who do you call when you need help? I mean, it could have been a child choking. It could have been a road traffic accident. It could have been someone on their own calling out for help. And 12 minutes is a long time to wait for someone to help you. The last time I had to call 999 was when my six-month-old baby she had febrile convulsions. And she was not breathing and having a fit. And I was a young mum on my own in the house. My husband was working. And I rang 999. And immediately at that time, I'd lifted the baby and I was panicked and I didn't know what to do. And the operator at that time was brilliant because she said, no, calm, it's okay. Put the baby in the recovery position and help us on its way.
Yeah.
And she reassured me immediately and kept me calm. And as soon as I put the baby in the recovery position, she started to breathe again. So on that occasion, it was the operator that really helped.
They
saved my baby because I didn't know what to do. I was panicking and I was holding the baby and that was the wrong thing to do.
It's incredible,
I
suppose, because we're talking about waiting for someone to answer, then to send out an ambulance, when, as you've clearly indicated, the operator on the other end of the line can really do miracles, even from, you know, miles and miles away.
It's just knowing that no matter what time you ring, if there's someone there to help you in an emergency when you need their help.
How long did it take in that occasion for them to answer? When it was for your own child, your baby?
Oh, for my own child, they answered straight away.
So within seconds.
But that was 6 years ago. And on that occasion, they answered straight away and it was the operator that saved her life.
So you've come across this young man, you've called 999 twice to an extent, once from your own phone and you've got someone else in a nearby business to do it. After 12 minutes, they answer and you obviously explain what's happening. How long did it then take for the ambulance to arrive?
The ambulance came very quickly after that. And they were brilliant. There was two paramedics arrived on scene very quickly and they took the young man into the ambulance and they were absolutely brilliant once they arrived. It was just quite scary not being able to get through to anyone or not knowing what was happening.
I'm looking at an article from 2016 on the BBC website, and it talks about wait times. And basically what happens after you dial 999. And in 2016, the ambulance service had a 2-second standard set to answer 999 calls. So that's 2 seconds, which really sounds like what happened when you first called for your daughter years ago, but not what happened during the week. We don't want to frighten people because, as you've said a couple of times, the service is there for people that are really desperately in need, whether it's for health help, if it's maybe for a fire, for police, whatever. You want to know that when you dial that there is someone at the end of the line. We did ask for a statement from the ambulance service and they have apologised to you. They say we would apologise to the caller for what must have been a very stressful experience. They also say we apologise to the patient for the unacceptable delay in sending them an ambulance. And this got us all thinking, as I'm sure it did you too, Catherine, you know, what happens, what process and what procedures and safeguards are in line with the service when you call. And they say they have a call queue because on occasion calls coming into the centre outnumber the call takers available to answer them. The caller queued, they've confirmed for 12 minutes, and we have various contingencies in place in the event that we have more of those calls coming in than we can take. And they also go on to say that when we have calls queuing, we allow our callers to complete other calls quickly to become available, but we also have a buddy system with the Scottish Ambulance Service whereby basically the calls that are queued here can be answered by one of them, and then they do that vice versa if they have some excess here and it's busy in Scotland. But they say this service has been in place for some years and has been very effective for both services, but there has clearly been a failure in our contingency system and we are now in the process of completing an investigation. So they are looking into this, Catherine, and they're going to try and solve what happened when you dialed. Do you know what happened to the young man? Have you any other further information?
The ambulance arrived. The paramedics took good care of him and took him to the hospital, and he's okay.
A positive outcome.
He's fine. Yeah, thankfully on this occasion, the patient is fine. But you just worry about what if it was something else? What if it was someone had seriously been injured?
What if he was on his own and he was...
Or someone having a heart attack? Yeah, you know, when you ring 999, you want to be sure there's someone going to be there to talk you through, to reassure you, to make sure the patient is treated as best as possible and that help is on the way.
What were you doing on Tuesday? I'm sure this completely interrupted and scared the life out of you during a normal day.
I was just coming home from work.
Yeah. Well, I guess he's very lucky that you and the other people that were there came along and provided that assistance, called the ambulance, even though it did take some time for them to answer. Catherine, thank you very much for taking this, bringing this story to the programme.
Thank you.
03030 80 55 55. I think when it comes to dialing 999, many of us will go through our lives and never actually have to do it, thankfully. But if you do, you want to know that the service you need is there at the other end of that phone. But we want to hear your experience this morning as well, especially if that has actually been positive. You're happy with the service that they provided for you. That number again, 03030 80 55 55. Brian McNeil is from the Ambulance Service. You're the Director of Operations. Good morning to you, Brian.
Good morning, Vinny.
Are you embarrassed by this?
I am certainly embarrassed and very disappointed, Vinny. This is totally unacceptable. We failed the call, person who made the call, Catherine, and we also failed the patient, the young man who was having the fit. And we are doing a full investigation to ensure that it doesn't occur again.
So what did happen, as far as you're aware?
Well, at this point, Vinny, we haven't completed the investigation, so perhaps at this point it would be useful just to discuss the contingency arrangements we have and what we think has let us down on this occasion. So when the caller makes a 999 call, it goes through to the BT Emergency Service in Scotland, and they then pass the call back to our control room. Our controllers, as you say, pick the call up very quickly. They get the details from the caller of what is happening and where it is happening. And then if it is a life-threatening call, they immediately send an ambulance. If it's not a life-threatening call, we may ask some more information, some more questions to get more information so that we can send the most appropriate ambulance to deal with the situation. Now, sometimes we have occasions where the number of calls coming into the control room exceeds the number of call takers available.
I understand that, and we'll come to that in a second, Brian, but just to go back to Catherine's story, she hadn't actually got to the point of speaking to someone to say this is what's happening,
yep.
and then allowing that person who's trained to do so to go, well, this is a category A, this is life-threatening. You know, it was 12 minutes even to get to that point.
And that's, I'm just going to get to that now if you have any. So on this occasion, when Catherine rang, we didn't have enough call takers in the room to manage the number of emergency calls at that particular point in time. As a consequence, then, we have what's called call queuing at the BTE control centre. So the BTE are trying to put the call through. We can't pick the call up. And in those circumstances, BTE would normally advise the caller that their call will be managed, they're in a queue, and ask them if they're okay with that. Now, the BTE operators are very well trained, and if the caller is given information and details that this is really life-threatening and critical, what they will do is they will then ring us through another number, advise of the situation, and we will go into the next phase of our contingency, which is basically addressing, getting someone out to the call, taking the call and getting it managed.
Sorry, Brian, just so I'm sure I have this right in my head, because we did an OB from the ambulance service, the call centre, years ago on this programme.
You did.
But you're saying that when you call 999 and if you're going through to the ambulance service, if it's very busy with those operators at the other end, it might be someone from BT that's also trained that you talk to in the meantime and they might categorise your call.
BT are the first people in contact, and what I'm saying is that BT will ask the caller if they're okay to be on hold, and that didn't happen on occasion. That's the first thing we need to look at. Secondly, if BT have got information that the call is critical, then they will bypass the normal call take processes and contact us on a line that is kept free for these occasions.
Yeah, but surely ultimately the responsibility for this, Brian, is with the ambulance service and not with BT.
I'm not abdicating responsibilities, Vinny. I'm just trying to explain to you the process so that we can be very clear and open and transparent in what happened. So
okay. On
this occasion then, if BT cannot get through within 5 minutes, we have an arrangement whereby the call is automatically transferred to the Scottish Ambulance Service Control Centre, who we work with and have been working with for years. They take the call. They electronically pass the information to our dispatch desk in the control centre and an ambulance is sent. That didn't happen either.
What's your target for actually answering these calls? Whether it's BT or yourself, when someone dials 999, what's your target for them to have
them within a couple of seconds is really the
so two seconds is your target?
Yeah. So, but having said that, there are occasions, Vinny, when the demand on the service far exceeds.
Yeah, but I know you get what I'm trying to say, in that 2 seconds target, 12-minute actuality is a big difference in there. And I appreciate you coming on. And one thing we don't want to do today, Brian, is to scare people or freak them out. We want them to believe, you know, that when they need the service, it is there and it is fit for purpose. Can I ask you, what is the longest wait time you have on record for someone trying to get through?
The longest wait. I think this is probably about the longest wait, Vinny, but I couldn't be 100% sure of that, but certainly the longest has been brought to my attention. We do 250,000, and we manage and deal with 250,000 emergency calls to the control centre each year.
So this is the longest call ever that you have on record, as far as you're aware?
To my knowledge, yes. So, and there has been a failure in the contingency plan system, which we are currently investigating to ensure that it doesn't occur again.
So what's your message to Catherine and to that young man who was having a fit on the street in Belfast in Finicky at 2:30 in the afternoon?
Well, my message is, as I've said, first of all, I apologise for the experience that Catherine has had. That must have been very, very traumatic and shouldn't have happened. And I certainly apologise to the young man who was fitting. We should have been there to help him much sooner. But we couldn't have got the ambulance to help him because we hadn't actually taken the call. We failed.
How do you put a safeguard into place to make sure this doesn't happen? Because I know and I understand you've talked through some of the precautions and the procedures with BT yourselves that these calls are meant to go through. But is there not some way you can put something in place to make sure that a 12-minute wait is impossible?
Exactly. That's what we will be working on from now, having received Catherine's complaint through your show. And thankfully, the outcome, clinical outcome, was good. It could have been much, much worse. Yeah. So now is the time to learn from the experience.
Yeah.
We will be working with BT. We'll be working internally. And we'll be working with our Scottish counterparts to ensure that we can put in better, safer systems. So 250,000 calls in the year, Vinnie, and this is the first one that we, this, of this nature that has been brought to our attention. But one is still too many.
Yeah, because
doing our best to ensure that it doesn't happen again.
And again, we do appreciate you coming on, but I guess we all can have bad days in work, or we all can have issues with whatever our roles are, but with the likes of the ambulance service or police, wherever, it could be life-threatening.
Yes,
and that's
yes.
why it's so vital that we, you know, everything that can be done is done.
And Vinny, I know that this is a concern for everyone, especially ourselves, and I will give you an assurance that we will address it. However, I'd also like to highlight the fact that when the call does get through to our control team, that call is managed by highly trained professionals. And Catherine has already given her experience of a positive experience. We have three of our call takers have just been to England there at the beginning of the week, nominated for UK Dispatcher of the Year, because the calls that they have been dealing with and the quality of the work they've been doing has been of such a high standard.
And I think it's important to highlight, you know, from even being in the centre and spending time with people that work in the service, they do some incredible work, like unbelievable work, and not everyone could do it, and we are all unbelievably thankful that they are there, because, you know, we all hope we'll never need it, but if we do, it's fantastic to know how heavily skilled that they are. Do you know how long, just finally, Brian, it took for the ambulance to actually arrive after Catherine got through within 12 minutes?
I don't have that detail at hand, Vinny. I can certainly get it for you, but I don't have it with me at the moment.
Okay.
I will say that, again, I emphasise that this was a process failure. It was either a technical failure or a protocol failure, human error. And we will certainly be doing a thorough investigation to find out what went wrong and address it.
Okay. Brian, just final message to, I guess, to reassure the public that might need to ring your service today.
Well, first of all, Vinnie, I will say to the public that there will be occasions when we will not be able to pick your call up immediately because we are just inundated with calls. So you may find that you will be asked to go on hold. If you're asked to go on hold, please stay on hold. Don't hang up and ring back again. If you're concerned, get someone else to ring back, but don't hang up and ring back on the call, on the number that you've been told to be on hold for.
Because you're
in a queue, and if you do hang up, you will go to the bottom of the queue again. So the first thing is, do ring 999 if you need an emergency ambulance. And secondly, if you're asked to be on hold, stay on hold. We will take your call as quickly as we possibly can.
Can you just finally, Brian, give an assurance to the public that this simply can't happen again, won't happen again?
I can give you an assurance, Vinnie, that we will be doing everything that we possibly can to ensure that it will not happen again. There is absolutely no point in us having all of the work that we do here in jeopardy because we cannot take the calls from the public. So we have very complex systems. We have paramedics, EMTs, patient care staff working very hard on the front line, delivering a response to the public, and they will continue to do so. And this is the first, they can't do their job unless we know those patients need us. Therefore, it's imperative that we address the call-taking process. Next week, we will be going out to a public consultation where we will be making some suggestions as to how we can improve our service, and that will involve the call taking process as well. And we would ask the public to read the changes that we're proposing to make and give us the feedback on that so that we can improve how we deliver the service for Northern Ireland.
Okay.
But we will be doing our very best to address this particular issue that happened last Tuesday.
Okay. Listen, Brian,
again, I apologise to both Catherine and the young lad who was involved in the
Brian McNeil from the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service, thank you very much for your time today.